This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello, lovelings! It's me, Olivia Kennedy, but you can call me Liv, and I'm joined today by
Jeremy Cobb. But Zariah Getchell calls me Geronimo the Cobb-tacular.
I love a good tacular, you know?
Yeah.
Anything, yeah. Pop a cheeky tacular on it. Oh, excellent.
Yep.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full prince vibe? Woof.
This makes them even more black.
Cake glitches and bitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon. On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah! We're about to get into something real big now.
My character on Fallout New Vegas is named Slam-tacular Stan.
Oh, what a that sounds like an accolade. That sounds like, yeah. You know, like
he's slam-tacular.
He is. He has no
melee abilities though. He's only good at shooting.
So oh, that's
it
a
makes
shame.
No sense. He's never slammed anyone.
It's a shame. I would love to see him do a slam, you know? So come on, slam.
A lot of people are pro slam. For Slam-tacular Stan.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I say.
Yeah.
I say, come on and jam and welcome to the Stan.
Very good.
Or come on and slam and welcome to the Stan. That's what it is.
Is this, I know that we've just started the episode, but is this on your Twitch channel?
Yes. Very yes. Cool. Yes, it is. Casual Quest Live, twitch.tv/casualquestlive. I stream every Tuesday and Thursday. Come check us out because we're actually very close to Twitch affiliates. We're only 20. All we need is 22 followers and we'll be Twitch affiliate. We have everything else.
You're not Twitch affiliate yet? I'm literally going to go now and see what I can do. I'm going to retweet some
yes.
stuff. This is what, no.
Just,
this,
yeah, go follow us. Get us to Twitch affiliate.
It's wild.
We're right there.
It's wild yeah. that you're not a Twitch affiliate. You know, like I cannot stand that. I'm gonna fix it like right now. But yes,
help me, halflings.
Come on, halflings.
Help us get to Twitch affiliate.
What? Remind me again. This is genuinely just for me.
It's twitch.tv yeah. /casualquestlive.
Casual Quest Live. Wonderful.
And it's I'm usually the one on camera, mm-hmm. But it's also Taylor mm-hmm. Svetkovich, who has been on, I believe he and I did a kickback quite a while ago, mm-hmm. and he also created the game Paradox Perfect. So in some sense,
fantastic.
He has been on both 3BH and Dicebreaker.
Yeah, this is true. This is very, very
yeah.
true.
And also, D6, my girlfriend, is also usually on mic for that. And designed our little banner and our little profile picture.
Oh, wonderful. I'm literally writing a tweet right now. Sorry, halflings. We'll get into the episode in like just a second. Jeremy's channel isn't...
It's a lot of fun.
Affiliate yet? Question mark?
No. We're so close. We're on the cusp. We've hit everything else.
We get them to 50 followers on Twitch, please.
Yeah! Thank you, Liv.
That's
I greatly appreciate
that's okay.
it.
I mean, look, I just wild. I don't know if this will work. People might be like, no, Liv, fuck off. And I'll be like, all right, fair enough, everyone. But yeah, there we go. It's tweeted. You can, I mean, if you
Thank
follow
you,
me on at Olivia Does, no, at Does Dark Magic on Twitter, you can see that tweet and yeah. Anyway,
Thank you.
Enough of the
the plug-in. We usually do this at the end of the episode. What are we doing?
Yeah, if we started up front.
Start off.
And also, even if you don't like Fallout New Vegas, we also do Deus Ex Human Revolution on Thursdays. We stream Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're still marveling at Adam Jensen's incredible shoulders.
Of course.
They're the largest shoulder pads I've ever seen in my life. It's like cyberpunk Clint Eastwood, but like he just does delts all at the gym. All he does is delts,
pumping those delts. Excellent stuff. That's really cool.
Nothing.
I love that. I wish that was me.
I love the idea of Liv just with these huge shoulders, nothing else.
Yeah, just a complete. Just bulbous. but apart from talking about our other projects, Jeremy, what are we doing today? What's happening?
Today we're cracking open the Ask the Halflings channel on our Discord once again to answer some of your questions.
Mm-hmm. All of them?
And
maybe
starting,
not some of them. Yeah.
Yeah, well, not all of them. We're gonna get through some of them.
Yeah.
And this time we've created a system which allows us to more easily keep track of which ones we've answered.
Yeah.
So we think we're on it. We're gonna start with Johnny EDIC or Johnny Edic. I'm not really sure which you prefer, Johnny.
Let us know, Johnny.
Yeah, let us know. Have you ever played a character haphazardly / devil may care / with a death wish who managed to live through something that their renegade attitude should by all rights have killed them? And they became a more fully realized / iconic member of the party? And if so, tell us about them. Yada, yada.
Hmm.
Oh, but as an addendum. This is completely different.
Okay. Different subject.
This part is less of an on-air question.
Okay.
But the first part is absolutely an on-air question.
Sure. Okay, so the recent example I can think of, and I don't know why I went into it with this attitude, but you know when we played Thirsty Sword Lesbians with Friday very recently here on the podcast, my character, I didn't intend for her to start off like this way, but she was way too ready to die. Jasper's character was literally like a beast person, and like she was actively antagonizing them. and like they were going feral, and she was just like, ooh, what are you gonna do? Oh, what are you gonna do? And I was like, maybe she'll die, maybe she will. And you know what? That's fine. That's part of the story. But for some reason, you both kept her around, even though maybe it's something to do with the fact that, you know, we try not to kill each other off during one shots, ideally. That would
true.
Be wild.
It hasn't worked every time, but true.
Wait, hasn't it? Oh no.
I guess. Well, no, the one time it hasn't, at least one time that it hasn't, was the NADPOD Paradox Perfect, where half of the party was killed at one point. For those of you who haven't listened to it, essentially, you should.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But half of the party was really pro Kevin Costner.
Yes.
And the other half was seriously anti Kevin Costner.
I didn't even know there was another half. I thought it was just the one half, Kevin Costner. Okay.
I don't think anybody was Costner neutral except for maybe Caldwell's character.
Sure.
Caldwell's character may have been called a Costner neutral, but I don't remember.
Okay.
But I do know that both Jake and Emily's characters were super pro Costner.
I could have absolutely guessed that. I could have absolutely.
Yes. And Murph and Jasper's characters were super anti-Costner.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah,
and,
sure.
And it was mainly Murph's. It was mainly Murph's character. And Jasper's character was a kid who like looked up to Murph's character and so became anti.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So towards the end of the session, Kevin Costner himself materialized. Like he appeared.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It turned into PvP instantly. Instantly.
Oh, no. Was it just like, I'm going to defend Mr. Kevin Costner with my life, and then just,
yeah, it was like yeah. it was like Murph and Jasper immediately like opened fire,
took a swing, and, yeah,
like started trying to murder Kevin Costner. I think like both Jake, I forget which one it was, but it was either Jake or Emily mm-hmm. Counterattacked while the other one was like, "Get down, Mr. Costner," and like threw their President. Body in the and I don't they wouldn't have said Mr. Costner because they were both like his children.
What?
One of them was like his yeah. So okay. Yeah. Jake was playing Calvin Costner,
right,
which was the son of Kevin Costner,
right.
And mm. Emily was playing Kevin Custner, who was a character who was just an urchin who was on a cruise and met Kevin Costner and was adopted by him as his true child.
In case you weren't aware, for some reason, I assume that you've listened to NABPOD. If you're here listening to us, if not, oh hey, OGs, what's up? But like, the NABPOD crew are very funny people, and it's always a pleasure. Very funny, very good.
Yes. I think one or both of their characters died.
Oh,
the anti Kevin Costner characters just were dead.
Yeah.
But because of the way that game works, they came back in a new form.
Cool, including a child. The child died. Brilliant.
The
right.
elephant, because he was also an elephant. He was both an elephant and a child. So the elephant child died, I believe, then was immediately resurrected.
It is beyond me as to why I haven't listened to it yet. Because it's exactly
you
my
really
shit.
Should.
No, I know. It's exactly my shit. And I haven't listened. Like, even, like, before I joined the pod, I literally was like, damn, gotta get me some of that. And I just haven't, because, you know, things happen. But I'm going to do it. Everyone call me out on it if I haven't watched listened within a time frame.
yeah, I think I highly recommend it. It is, as we said before, and I think Jasper recently spoke to the crew at NABPOD, and they basically agreed. It is possibly the most unhinged recorded thing involving those people.
Amazing.
Or us. Like, it has NABPOD live show energy,
yeah.
But, like, amped.
Yeah.
They were like, man, that was wild.
Yeah, like was it a fever dream? You know, who could say? It was recorded.
At parts.
Yeah. Gosh, I joined just after. It would have been such a time. Would have been a good yeah. time.
Okay, so I have yes. another answer to this question.
Okay, cool.
I don't think I've had such an NP, such a PC. I may have had an NPC and I just can't remember, but somebody who like should have died, but then managed to survive and then changed afterwards. Mm-hmm. I have played in games, I think, where there have been characters who started out as more, you know what? My character, Dennis Colespring, actually, he didn't, he had more of a Devil May Care attitude, I think, when we started, but it wasn't really him who should have died. It was that one of his friends died, and ever since then he completely changed. This was in the first game that Jasper DM'd. We and actually the titular black halfling of this show, Dennis,
it's the rogue, right? Is he a little rogue?
He was a monk. He was a shadow monk.
Monk. Yeah.
And he had a friend named Gundan Maul, who died. Gundan was tragically killed just before he would have met his father,
which was
adding insult to injury. We didn't even realize that at the time. And he was like on the cusp. And I think Dennis was so hurt by Gundan's death that he became much darker and much more serious.
Yeah.
And his whole philosophy changed from being like, yeah, we'll just fight him and beat him, to like, there are forces in this world that are more powerful and that we are not the one pulling the strings, but there are other entities. There are countries. There are nation states. There are evil beings within these nation states controlling like the rulers of these places, and the people with the real power are controlling everything.
There are forces we cannot even begin to contemplate.
Exactly. We are outmanned, outgunned, outnumbered, outplanned. I don't remember. Outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered, outplanned.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to address this. And Dennis basically became Batman with an urchin army of Robins.
Dennis.
But yeah, he became a businessman and started buying up real estate, as well as like I think various businesses, and
that's such a new thing to do, Jeremy. Like, be Batman, but also like have a regular steady part, like thing that you do on the side, like a side gig, and it's real estate.
Well, this was funding the Batman.
Yes,
this was funding my Batman operations.
Exactly.
I adopted all of the city's urchins, not like legally, but I basically let them all come work for me and live at my facilities, and they were all like working at my hotel and stuff. But in the meantime, they were all being trained in like the martial arts and various other, like, some of them were being trained in magic.
Excellent.
Like the whole party got in on this, and we were all training these little kids, and then we were sending them out to fight crime, and we started to send them to other cities as well. And so it was like, we're just gonna clean this place up.
Theme of harm to children this episode, apparently. Like,
look, the children's lives were being improved. It was a net improvement.
That's good.
They were being paid a ton. They were being paid more than the average person.
Over their heads, you know.
Yeah, they were actually fairly rich. Yes. A lot of these kids became fairly rich off of this because I was paying them a lot of money.
Good for them.
Compared to like how much even the average person gets paid in that world.
If somebody were to listen to this out of context, just like the kids were rich. I paid them so much money and now they're rich, you know? So like,
I don't think there were any in-game fatalities before we had stopped playing.
Okay.
At least not that we had discussed. So to my knowledge, there was no harm to these children.
That's good. You know, that's great to hear. I think apart from that, I can't think, because like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people out there understand this, but like, because I get so attached to my character and I'm like, oh, they can never die. I will not allow it. You know, like, so a lot of the time I am trying my best to kind of keep them alive, but it is very freeing when you kind of have that attitude. I will say as well that there are like RPGs that are specifically like designed for you to know, oh, after this session is done, this character's dead, right, regardless. So like, you've got like 10 candles.
10 candles.
Yes, it is 10 candles. 10 candles.
Yeah.
There's another one I'm going to look up, which is also good. But yeah, 10 candles, you know that your character's going to die by the end of it. And it's going to be in some spooky, horrific way. And it's going to be fun. So you just may as well like lean into it. There's also, I'm going to find Best Left Buried, which is a great little RPG by Soul Muppet, which is very like kind of old school, like Dungeons and Dragons vibes. And like basically it's highly likely that your character is going to die. I'll just do whatever I want. This is wild, cool. And then you just kind of go for it and it's really cool. I like it a lot.
Alien RPG is another, I think.
Oh, okay.
Where there are two different modes. One of them is like basically a film mode where it's like, this is built for a one shot, made to feel like an alien movie. Mm. And the idea is most of the characters will die.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. There's the aliens going around. Yeah.
Makes sense. And then there's a longer campaign mode in which still people probably will die, but it's less immediately lethal.
Yeah.
My understanding is that Cyberpunk tends to be fairly lethal as well compared to like D&D, for example.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, like in any kind of piece of media to do with Cyberpunk, like there's going to be death and destruction. I think kind of the RPG playthroughs I've seen of Cyberpunk tend to try to veer away from it more, but I think that death is just a big part of the game. I think you should just have like a supply of characters at the ready, because at any time it's all gonna pop off, you know. Oh, I love Cyberpunk. I love it. Okay, should we move on to the next question?
Yes. The next question is by Fadrin Stone. Thank you, Fadrin. I'm re-listening to The Cub and the Caterpillar, and I forgot that most of it was streamed. But I'm struggling to find any evidence of this, though. So my question is it behind the paywall, or can I watch the OG Wagadu story for freezies? The answer is, it is in fact behind the paywall. It is on the Patreon. I believe at any level, if you join the Patreon, you will have access to all, I just checked to confirm this. Yes. I believe all of the Wagadu Chronicles episodes are up on our Patreon that were streamed, including like both seasons, Cub and the Caterpillar and Curse of the Spider Queen. Mm-hmm. But Cub and the Caterpillar was the only one that was streamed. And it wasn't actually most of the season. It was actually about half.
Okay.
We stopped. Oh, no, we did stream more than half. I didn't realize. Yeah. We also started just recording episodes as well, I think, after that. But we streamed up through, I think, episode 10 or 11.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, that's pretty much
that's
the answer.
More of a logistical question, but it's also good to know.
For anybody who is who's trying to find the old Wagadu streams and you want to see me, Jasper, and Dunati. And I believe we actually recorded, let me just check this. I believe we may have also recorded recorded video. Yeah. We had you, so if you want to see us with Lou and Alan in some of the episodes,
Oh my goodness.
Go check those out. As well.
Can I, on just as a side note, I've been catching up with like Dimension 20's like other seasons. I watched Never After, which is super sick. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Like, it's so much fun. The premise is basically like, it's very like kind of gothic horror. And it's kind of like a very Brothers Grimm vibes. But it's like fairy tales. And Lou Wilson plays Pinocchio. And when the character entered and Lou was just like, "Hi, yeah, I'm Pinocchio, blah, blah, blah." Like, I was like, oh no. Oh, this is going to get so old so fast. Then cut to me in a few episodes where I'm like, this is the best fucking character I've ever seen. Oh my God, I love him so much. Everything he did just cracked me up. I was like, I'm floored. Good stuff. Big shout out to Lou Wilson, basically.
Yeah. I know what you mean, where it's like, oh, this could easily go wrong, but it doesn't. It ends up just being like, oh, it's part of the character.
Yeah. Like, there's like a scene, spoilers for later on, but there's a scene where this little wooden puppet boy is literally talking to someone and is acting almost like a mafia don. And it's just like there with like a cigar and it's like not going anywhere because he doesn't have lungs. And it's just like kind of like festering in his chest. And he's like, well, you know, I've been through a lot of shit. I don't know why my
version
is. As he's
talking, his smoke just coming out constantly.
I don't know why my version is very Mickey Mouse, but like it's
his
very
version
funny.
Isn't super far off from Mickey Mouse.
Okay. But yeah, it just the comedy is just on point. Very good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good.
It was great. I also wanted to say really quickly, so that's if you go to patreon.com/tbhalflings, you can watch videos of almost every episode of The Cub and the Caterpillar. And then if you want to just listen to them, you can listen to them on our feed for free.
Yeah.
On our podcast.
I was going to.
They're all here.
They're there. It's just like a little extra little thing if you go to Patreon and take a look-see. So and also thanks if you are on our Patreon, we really appreciate it.
thank you very much to all patrons. The next little bit here is from the next little bit next what? Question yes, is indeed. From Irish Rampager. Irish Rampager, thank you, Irish. Are there any threads about how you all go about session zero and character creation? I'm with a couple of my players via Discord, and I'm trying to get them to think about their characters and backstories for a high magic fey campaign, but it's difficult without a reference sheet of some kind.
Oh, that's interesting. As resident GM, would you like to go first, Jeremy?
Yes. So let me see, because I think we did actually cover this in a specific episode. I'm looking through. Let me see if I can find our list of episodes here. If I could, I'm trying to see if I can find one about session zero so that we can. Yes.
Ooh.
It is Squirrel Fight Club. And I have to shout. I have to shout them out. Lady Salvia on the
Lady
Discord
Salvia.
Came swinging in. We recently did a third anniversary little call with a number of our patrons, and Lady Salvia was there, and Jasper had put together a quiz of like 3BH trivia.
Amazing.
And my goodness, Lady Salvia came in and was answering questions that were
Lady
so
Salvia?
Incredibly obscure.
My gosh, an
like,
OG
rushed
fan.
It. Yes, and I have to shout Yes, and I have to shout this out because Lady Salvia answered the question.
Yeah.
The episode in question, for anyone who wants to hear more detailed response to this, mm-hmm. is episode 43, Squirrel Fight Club, Running a Session Zero. Mm-hmm. So if you find that one on the podcast feed, check it out. That one is that one talks all about Session Zero, but we can also answer it a little bit right now.
Sure.
You would ask me, so my mm-hmm. my tip is this. Ask them, so up front, I would say, depending on whether you want to tell them during the Session Zero, like if you want to do character creation as part of the Session Zero, or if you want to do it like in a subsequent session, you should let them know what the character, what the theme is. So if it's a high magic fae campaign, that's great. And then thinking about the characters and backstories, just be like, look, I want, because this is what I would do at least. If for example, who their character is and what their backstory is going to be particularly relevant to the game. Usually the people I play with know this, but I would let them know up front. Hey, if you tell me, like, give me a backstory, the more you give me, the more I can work in. And the more I can make this relevant to specifically your character. So if you like, I would say that up front, you can say that during the Session Zero and say like, I really want to use all of your backstories as mm-hmm. part of story for this campaign, even as part of world building. Maybe you'll meet people who know people from your backstories who are from your backstories, et cetera, et cetera. Please take a look at this. And then like in terms of, what kind, it can be helpful to give people an idea of the vibe you're going for. So if it's like a specific genre, which in this case it is high magic fae campaign, so like high fantasy fae, it can be helpful to give specific references where it's like, oh, here's something that discusses like the tropes or character types from this particular medium. I did that for Outlaws and Obelisks. I had sent everybody like a list of potential character tropes as well as themes that are that exist in both Westerns and post-apocalyptic stories, as well as themes that are common between among the two of them. So I sent them that up front, and then throughout potential archetypes throughout. Same thing with Mavros. I'll be like, hey, there's, you know, stuff like the femme fatale and the hard-boiled detective, or the waifish teen who's lovelorn, or, you know, different things like that. I will usually also throw out examples of characters that people have created for a setting if I'm like doing a setting again with a new group.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. Yeah, giving character examples is super fun, and I love the idea of like giving them like something to watch or read or whatever it might be that can like might be in the similar setting. I'm trying to think of one for like a high fae setting. I will preface this by saying, Irish Rampager, thank you so much for the question. It was in 2022, so that's our bad. But
it was in September.
September
of 2022. But yeah. I'm just glad that it was less of a year, because last time I think we did it, people had asked the questions more than a year previously.
Brilliant. We're getting better, so, is the thing.
Yeah, so we're catching up. We're catching up, folks.
Take that away from us. but yeah, like a high fae kind of setting. I can't even think. I'm literally looking on Google right now. Like, I don't know.
There's a court of fae and flowers. Also, just looking up like fae court art, as well as looking up lists of fae creatures, and classic fairy stories. Mm-hmm. I think all of those could be good ideas for something like this. Now, this happened a long time ago, but these for anyone else.
Yeah, who might be looking into that.
Look up fae stories, fae art, and that sort of thing. That would be helpful.
Season 2 of The Legend of Vox Machina, a bunch of that takes place in the fae realm.
Court of Fae and Flowers as well for D20.
Yeah.
It's all very, very fae.
Yeah. No, I need to watch that one as well. I'm going through the backlog. I'm getting through it. I'm like watching all of them, but I'm also like having a sprinkle of the Ravening War in between everything, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna go back to this and then blah, blah, blah. I love those examples, Jeremy. Also, I really want to touch on what you said about kind of discussing how you can discuss during a session zero character stuff. But something that you've done for me and something that I have done, because I'm currently prepping for a big campaign myself, which has been announced. It has been announced. Yeah, I'm going to be DMing for Eurogamer's brand new, well, not brand new. It's called Break Quest Club. It's a D&D game, a D&D show that, yeah, that they did like a few episodes of when Johnny Chiodini was the GM, but they have left and I'm going to be taking over the role. So, Yeah, so there's been a lot of prepping going on, and we're getting there. But
congratulations!
Thank you. I'm very excited. It's gonna be fun. But yeah, like having chats one on one with everyone, and just kind of really getting into their backstory, and then really like and then like making suggestions and bouncing off of them, like, is really, really helpful. Like Jeremy, the process of like creating Juji with you was really memorable for me, because like I was just kind of like, yeah, I have like these kind of vibes and these things, and you were like, but what about this? And I was like, oh, but what about that? And then like and then we just made something, one of the honestly cooler backstories that I've made. Like, if you haven't listened to The Curse of the Spider Queen, spoilers for that, but it's been out for a little while, but yeah, like we came up with the idea that like Juji was being like chased by the Withered Woman, who's just kind of like which turns out to be her own like conscience and guilt manifest, and it's actually with a woman is her, and I don't even know how we got there, but like it's so good and I love it. It's juicy. I love it a lot. But yeah, so I highly recommend, yeah, chatting to your players and just kind of like working with them. Yeah,
I do highly recommend that as well. It is it worked not only with Liv, but it is yeah, it's been great. Whoever I've done it with, it really helps. I think it can just help to have, especially if it's like you have something in mind and what you were looking for the campaign. It's really helpful to be able to work with the players on that. So I also want to throw a shout out to Ghost, who also helped to answer this question in Discord by suggesting some resources. Yeah, Ghost, one of our beloved mods, threw out some potential resources online, or at least what they could do, like Googling D&D Session Zero. And it looks like Irish Rampager actually looked for a Squirrel Fight Club and hopefully found it.
Fantastic.
Hopefully found the episode. So hopefully all they got the answer, but now you all have the answer too.
Imagine like hearing your name mentioned on a podcast a year after you asked a question.
It hasn't been a year yet. It's almost.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
We're not quite. Yeah. We're almost. Yeah. Okay, I do want to answer Idlewind's question next. Because this is, we can answer this on air and then I can post it in the Discord.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Request, can you post a brief statement that I can add to my homebrewed 5e campaign setting about how players can respectfully play characters of other real-world racial identities and ethnicities? Mm. I've learned so much from listening to 3BH podcasts on this, but cannot distill the essence into a clear, concise statement in my player's guide.
Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of a powwow discussion, and then we'll make a formal statement in the, in the Discord.
Yes, we're gonna work something out. So respect is, I think, is a big one
for sure.
I think a little bit of research,
yes,
depending
absolutely
on how much you're pulling from the culture in question. Can you think of anything else that you would say? Respect, research.
Yes, I honestly, those are the two main things that came to mind for me. Not going like super, like you should have a basic knowledge of, like, if you can't just be like, well, you can, but it would probably be better if you didn't just say, hi, I'm playing a black character, like like what else is going on there? Like, I guess if it's fantasy, it might be like different, but like, are they from a certain region? Like, you know, for example, like African versus like Caribbean. That's an example I took from us right now. But like, you know, try and think of like where they come from. Don't slap a color on someone and then that's kind of the amount of thought that you put into it, if that makes sense. But yeah, I did have this come up recently. Once again, keep talking about cyberpunk, but it was during cyberpunk session, and And what's really fun about that game is that it kind of encourages you to like maybe play a race that you wouldn't normally play, because like you roll on a table for your character, and I had a person who was of Asian descent. My partner Chloe ended up playing a character who was black and African, I believe, and like. Came to Night City from like another place in the world, and it was just really interesting how like, because I think because Chloe, bless her heart, she was like, is it okay if I do that? And I was like, yes, son, of course, like you know when it's not like tourism, you know. I think it's really a really good sign if you want to kind of put yourself in the shoes of somebody of a different race, you know. As long as it's not exploitative in any way.
Yeah, or it's, you know, like some weird... Yeah, as long as it's not like a weird tourish or fetish thing.
Yes.
If it is a fetish thing, I don't know. That's something that should be worked about amongst you and your other players.
Yes. And maybe, you know, maybe chat to someone else about that. I don't know. Like, consenting adults. I don't know.
I can add to... So we have respect, which basically means... Don't make sure you're not playing into stereotypes.
Yes,
if you are doing, for example, an accent, or trying to bring up specific stereotypes, for example, if you're playing a black character and you make a bunch of jokes about how they don't have a dad, and that seems to come in because, like, it's one thing if it's like, oh, okay, that it just happens to be part of the story. But if it's like, oh, you know, you're just making jokes and throwing that in, that's like, whoa.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, whoa, no, yeah. No.
Sometimes in like D&D, for example, people tend to kind of play up the stereotypes, quotation marks of their race in D&D or the species in D&D.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, you know, it's not like a green flag for you to just kind of be like enforcing stereotypes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I did a session today actually where one of my player characters was called in by like an orcish tribe, well, an orcish clan, to do like a kind of like test of like bravery and honor and stuff. And I made it so that the clan had had issues in the past about like not inviting like people like who weren't full orcs, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But literally I made it a part of the story where it was like, yeah, I've been told by my council that that's really outdated and, you know, just isolating for a lot of people and we're working on it and now everyone's welcome. You know, like, it's just nice to kind of subvert things when you can. But yeah, don't stereotypes, especially if it's real world races, that's not good, not good at all.
I completely agree. And sometimes I would say it's worth looking up perhaps what the stereotypes are about a specific race or culture, just so that you can be aware if you are unintentionally falling into them, or if you are in fact doing something that seems to, like, oh, say you did want your character to have be on the, like, their father had been not there for whatever reason, whether they were dead or kidnapped or had left or whatever. And you are playing a black character and it hadn't occurred to you that that was a stereotype about black people. Definitely, like, do the research on what those stereotypes commonly are. And so that you can then be like, okay, is this an element I want to include in my character? Or is there a way we can approach this that is a subversion? Like, okay, say it's one thing if the father, like, for example, maybe we can have the father not be like in prison or dead.
Yes.
Maybe it's, oh, he was kidnapped. If he's in prison, quote unquote, maybe he was kidnapped for this purpose and has been trying to get back to the family. And it's not because he was some criminal or something, but because, you know, he had enemies. Maybe he was a hero and was captured by his foes. And so part of the campaign could be freeing him. And then he goes back to being a hero. But it was like he's been I won't say from which story this is in D20, but there was a situation where a character's parent was not there. And we later discovered that the parent had actually been drafted into, like, basically like an interdimensional secret agent force.
Yeah.
And had been wanting to get back to the child, but basically couldn't until this. Like something like that. So I think that's all part of respect. We said research. That would, I would say research is looking up stereotypes, but also looking up the elements of the culture, like that you might want to respectfully include. So if it's like, if you're playing, we've been talking about black characters. If you're talking, say you're playing a Caribbean black character, maybe you could look into certain cultural elements. Like, again, it really depends on the game you're playing. Like, you're probably not going to have a bunch of Caribbean influences in D&D. But
exactly.
Might.
That's why I was like, when I was talking about it, I was like, well, because that's not going to exist in the world.
It's, exactly.
You know? So it's tricky, but it's definitely worth thinking about. Even, like, the sheer fact that you're thinking about it just fills me with hope, honestly. That's really good. I also would suggest as well, if you're with a group of people that you trust and I assume kind of think the same way as you, if you're friends, maybe ask them to hold you accountable if you do something that might not, you might not even realize could be like offensive in any way. Somebody could be like, oh, actually, maybe don't do that, maybe we X-card that. It's always good to have other people kind of like backing you up a bit, you know.
I completely agree. Okay, so this is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The three R's. The three R's. Respect.
Respect.
Research.
Research.
And relax.
Yeah.
Relax in this case means it's okay to make mistakes. If somebody points out a mistake that you are making, do not take it personally.
Yes.
Do
not
get upset. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just go back to the drawing board, even talk with the person and make the adjustments.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the end of the world. So I guess, we'll type out some version of that.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We would do it now, but we've got a certain
amount of
time.
We are recording an episode.
Yeah.
But I'm going to type out the three R's.
Nice.
On a document, and then I'm going to post it in here later.
Cool. While you're typing that out, there are some questions. The next question, I have no idea what it's referencing, so maybe you will know, actually, Jeremy.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because I assume it's
is this Lorekeeper's question? This is Kirimdor's question.
Kirimdor, yeah.
Yeah, Lorekeeper, in response to your question, which is about the Squirrel Fight Club episode, I'll ask Jasper, but that is episode 43 of the show. Mm-hmm. So we are currently on episode, we are more than 200 episodes after that one. So I will ask him, but it may, that may be lost to time. So we shall see. Yes, what device / app did you use to distort Camel's voice? Actually, Seth from the audio crew came in and answered that one. They used a combination of delay, chorus, flanger, and reverb plugins native to Adobe Audition. Nice. So now they actually have an FX preset named Camel.
Amazing.
But they have not used it since O&O. But hopefully they'll be able to use it again.
More camels. More camels for days.
Yes.
Wonderful. Where should we go next? Where are we off to?
Polarity Bear asks, as the horror buff halfling, I'd be curious if Jeremy has seen Barbarian and what his thoughts were if he has. I haven't yet, but I'm going to write it down underneath the three R's.
I haven't either. Polarity Bear, I quite like horror as well. You know, I quite like it. Jeremy, let's just face it. You are very knowledgeable on a lot of things. So, like, you're just kind of, you're just buff, you know? You're just buff.
I'm the buff.
You're the buff, yeah, exactly. I quite like horror. However, I haven't seen Barbarian, which is a shame. It was actually available like on a flight that I took fairly recently, and I was like, should I watch it? I don't know. But it looks really interesting, and I've heard really good things about it. So I guess we can maybe take a look and then get back to Polarity Bear. Cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Polarity Bear, who I've met in person. I met in person at PAX Unplugged very briefly. Yeah. Very, very nice individual.
Cool. Such nice people listen to the podcast. It's lovely.
Yes. Ah, this is Jamination. Yes. Jamination's question. Yo, Liv, we're in November now.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Trying to get through as many of these as possible.
Yeah, you got this.
Jeremy used to introduce himself as a friendly neighborhood DM. He very clearly is not friendly if you've listened to any of his games. I live in Idaho, so he is very not neighborhood. My question is if he is less neighborhood or less friendly as a DM.
I see. Interesting. One of the parameters of neighborhood. what do we think of that?
See, I've thought of it as feeling, I guess, because I do agree that in a literal sense, I am not in the vast majority of people's neighborhoods.
Sure.
The overwhelming majority of people who listen to this
show. You're not in mine?
Yeah.
You're not in, that's all I know, really. You're not in my mom's?
That's true. I'm not in your mom's. I'm thinking that neighborhood kind of refers to familiar and neighborly, and it's like, oh yeah, there's Jeremy. It's like he feels like he's just over there, not in a physical sense, but in a metaphysical sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who you're asking, because, like, I mean, of course, as my friend, you are friendly, so that's great. But also, I feel like, you know, we chat and hang out so much that to me, you are very neighborhood. I'm like, it's like, oh, it's Jeremy. Yeah, I feel warm and safe in that home, you know? Mm. Like, so yeah, to me, you are very neighborhood. So
thank you. But Mike, the question is, as a DM,
am I
less neighborhood or less friendly in your experience, Liv? I think it makes sense for you to answer this since you played with me as a DM.
Okay, so.
Or am I more friendly or more neighborhood?
Yeah, the phrasing is freaking my mind. Okay, so.
Am I more of when I DM?
Which
friendly or
of?
Neighborhood?
With neighborhood being a familiar presence, you're more friendly. Because I never know what you're going to fucking do next. There's like a friendly familiarity there. So the friend aspect, but like you'll do shit and I'll be like, what are you doing? What? So like that I can never rest easy.
Yeah.
Cause you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Shit, look, Jeremy, you're very good at pulling the rug out from other people, but in a fun Thank way. You. In a very Thank fun you. Way. Like, oh, you pull the rug out. Oh, I'm on a slide. Wee. You know?
That's nice. I think Juji also had fewer nasty surprises in that season.
Yeah.
Than, because if we're thinking like every.
Gosh, yeah.
Like, yeah, because like Chamonix had a couple of rough ones.
Mm-hmm. Abawade.
Yeah, Abawade. serious ones. Johnny up front had said, hey, I want my character to have stuff that he doesn't remember from his past.
Yeah.
So I'll let you decide this. And I was like, all right.
Okay.
And so I did. And my goodness. And if you let me decide your backstory for you, you're going to get your options are genocide or spooge. Yeah. Historically Spoosh. On 3BH shows. Liv still hasn't listened to Outlaws and Obelisks.
No, I haven't.
Go check that one out, Liv.
I know, I want to. It's just, I'm going through Dimension 20. Maybe I should have started with 3BH first. Maybe. But the thing is, I got halfway through the third campaign of Critical Role. I'm like, where do I go? What do I do? Okay.
Just work us into the rotation.
Next, I'm... Okay. For me and also for everyone, which one should I watch? Listen to next. Which one should I?
You should listen to, I think, Outlaws and Obelisks. Cool. But you should work in the NADPOD 2 shot just in the midst of that.
In the midst of it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, because it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
No, I think Outlaws.
Genuinely excited.
Yeah, I think Outlaws and Obelisks would be great. And then if you want to go back and listen to The Cub and the Caterpillar, as somebody who was in season 2,
yeah,
you would, I think, going back and listening to The Cub and the Caterpillar and then listening to the sequel, you'd be like, oh, dang!
Oh, my God!
It gives it a whole new feel.
Because, I kind of liked, though, that, because I was like, should I listen to it before we do... because of the Spider Queen, but I kind of liked it in terms of like Juji would have no idea what went down. So yeah. Spoilers again for Curse of the Spider Queen that Mootie was telling us and like the whole like recollection that we had and stuff like that with Kate was very fresh and very real. So I am glad that I hadn't listened to that one yet. Mm. Yeah, I am glad.
And those I will say those flashback episodes that we did in Curse of the Spider Queen are ruthless.
Yeah,
those are. Yeah. Genuinely, those were not friendly. Those were nasty.
Okay. Less friendly or less neighborhood? You know, like that's the question.
We'll ask Jasper which one he felt less of.
Yeah.
Although, which one hurt Outlaws and Obelisks is where I lost the moniker. They revolted and towards the end of the season of them were openly saying, you are not friendly. Stop saying that. And when Emily finally joined in, I was like, yeah, we're going to retire.
Not so the expert.
I'm guessing that I'm less friendly than I am neighborhood because the players were okay with me keeping neighborhood part that I had to get rid of friendly.
Like maybe they weren't thinking of the ramifications of the word neighborhood, you know, because, you know, like there's a whole it's philosophical, really, isn't it? It's all.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah. Let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's do one more. Mm-hmm. Sonya the Rhymeless. We're still in November. All right. We're getting closer.
Ooh, it's almost Christmas. Halflings. Yay.
I have two questions for the whole halfling huddle. Mm. Number one, halfling huddle's great, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
Number one, not D&D related. What is your favorite dessert? Liv, what's your favorite dessert?
Okay, so my favorite dessert, it's like a three-way tie. It's either dark chocolate, specifically chip cookies. With a glass of milk because I'm a baby, or a nice gooey but not too gooey chocolate brownie and a glass of milk because I'm a baby, or just a really nice ice cream, but like ice cream that's like there's a place local to me that like where they make all of their ice cream like in house, and it's so delicious and they have so many lovely flavors and it's good stuff. So yeah, like those are my top three. And I'm also very picky when it comes to sweets, so yeah, so it's not those are the only three I do mostly. So
yes.
Yeah, what about you, Jeremy?
Okay. My answer is it used to be cheesecake. It used to be apple pie, but it is currently the baked apple Icy Skyr. Skyr is essentially Icelandic yogurt. It's like an Icelandic version of yogurt. I don't think it's exactly yogurt, but it's Icelandic yogurt. There is a specific brand called Icy, and they have a flavor called baked apple. It is award-winning in Iceland, and it is the greatest yogurt I've ever tasted, and it is not close.
Interesting.
It is not just me either. I have gotten several other people to try it, and every time when they're trying, they're like, okay, let's give this.
Eat it, yes.
Yeah. Our producers, Paul and Jess, are addicted to the stuff. Because of me. Like, Paul saw me trying to get a tub of it, and it's only they do not sell it in the US. They sell it in the UK, but only Marks & Spencer and Waitrose sell it.
Oh, because it's the top tier shit, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you can't even get, like, most Marks & Spencers I go into don't even have it. Waitrose seems to usually have it. If you live in the UK or in a place that has Waitrose or Marks & Spencer, go try it out or go to the Icy website and see if they have baked apple.
Okay.
Like, if they sell it in your country, it is unbelievable. Like, Liv, I cannot recommend it more highly.
I'm gonna give it a go. I will say that, I'm picky. I'm so, so picky. I would be delighted if I could add this to my roster. I would love that. So I'll give it a go.
Yeah, I think you'll probably like it. It's really good. Like, extremely good. I got my parents to try it too, and they were like, oh my God.
My mom
came over to the UK and bought like 5 tubs recently.
I'll take 8. Yeah.
Second question, D&D related. How long does one of your D&D sessions usually go on for? Home games and professional games. Liv.
I would say home games used to be way longer, especially when you're sat around a table. Like, they tend to go on for like way, way longer. So if you're sat around a table, probably like 4 hours. Online, like 3 to 3.5, I think. And then professional games, if you're running a game for somebody else, whatever they've paid for, I guess. Yeah. And if it's like an actual play with us, then we kind of decide on a length of like episode, because like it's got to be episode length, you know? So like a couple of hours, I guess. Yeah.
In terms of home games, often in the realm of like 4 hours, usually at least 2 to 2.5. Sometimes we get up to 4. The longest I've ever run, I think, was 10 or maybe 12. For a home game. Sometimes you just get in it, man.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah. It's a dream. In terms of professional, professional games, usually if it's like a private professional game, you're usually looking at 3, 4, 5 hours. If you're doing it for a show, then it is usually going to be anywhere from like 2, 2.5 to maybe 3, 3.5. Maybe the longest was 4. I think in early Cub and the Caterpillar, we were like aiming for Critical Role lengths. The early episodes were all like 4, 3.5. But then like by episode 5 or 6, those lengths really dropped. And for most of the series, it's around 2 to 2.5, I think. I think Outlaws and Obelisks also comes in around 2.5. It's not D&D, but when we did Big Trouble in Little Manus, we were aiming for 90 minutes to 2 hours for most of those episodes. I think the finale is longer, but most of them are around 90 minutes.
Okay.
For that one. Yeah,
so quite a difference. I've spoken about this in various different forms, but there is actually a video on Dicebreaker called How to Make Your Own Actual Play. So if you ever wanted to do that and you were like, I don't know where to start, there's a video on Dicebreaker that I made about it. I had a discussion with Wills in it, and we were like, there is a very big difference about playing D&D or playing an RPG for yourselves and playing it for an audience. And that's something that you have to kind of keep in mind, basically. So it's quite different. It's an interesting question. Yeah. Thank you, Sonia. Thanks, gang. I think we've gotten to November. I'm very proud of us, Jeremy.
And the next question is from, I'm looking at the list right now. Next question is from December. So we've arrived at December.
Oh my God. Happy holidays.
Yay.
Well done, everyone.
Oh, we're getting close, Liv. I think only one to two more and we'll be caught up.
Oh, there's so many. We're getting there, gang. Thank you for your patience. but yes, well, this has been, I can't wait to do another one. I love these. They are very fun. Yeah. And also, don't forget, if you have any questions, feel free to join the Discord and pop them in the Ask the Halflings channel, because we love to hear from you. We love it. We love it. Jeremy, where can people find you on the internet?
Yes, so you can find me on Twitter at JeremyCobb1. That is Cobb with two B's and the number one. You can find me on Instagram at TheCobbMeister. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/CasualQuestLive, where I stream Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can find me also on The Quantum Reactor, a sci-fi movie review podcast starring myself and Andrew Coons, releasing on Tuesdays. You can find us wherever pods are cast, and we also have a Discord that I believe the link is in the show notes, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
I think, is that all the places? I'm about to start popping up in a few more places, so stay tuned for that. But I think that's all the places that I'm at.
Wonderful.
Right now.
I look forward to seeing you pop up. I wish I hadn't said that, Jeremy, but I do. but yes, fantastic. Also,
where do they find you, Liv?
You can find me. I'm at Does Dark Magic on Twitter. I'm also at Olivia Does Dark Magic on most of the platforms. I remember I said I was going to change that, and I am going to, like, right now, actually. I'm going to be at Does Dark Magic everywhere, I think. That's going to be me. You can take a little look at that. Also, I'm over on Dicebreaker, where we do all sorts of tabletop content, and it's very exciting. I'm going to be doing more GMing stuff on Dicebreaker, but also on Eurogamer. So if you wanted to go ahead and go to Eurogamer's YouTube channel and subscribe to them, I'm going to be on there soon doing some stuff. So yeah, you can also go to youtube.com/3blackhalflings, where we make videos sometimes and put them up on the internet, and it's very fun and cool. And you can also follow 3 Black Halflings like in so many places, with the number 3 Black Halflings. So on Twitter, we're on TikTok, actually, I believe.
Yeah,
we're
Instagram.
On Instagram,
YouTube.
We're on YouTube, which so many places.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to support the podcast, which we really appreciate, thank you so much to anyone who does. We are also on Patreon. We are TB Halflings over on Patreon. So if you wanted to check that out, do so. And also, things might be changing up pretty soon. So
on the Patreon, we're about to roll out some changes for the Patreon. One last thing. Yeah. Because I realize I always forget to plug it, and I am actually on it. I've been on this for a long time. Warlock. It is basically a D&D-ish anime audio drama that uses D&D as a framework. Imagine My Hero Academia meets D&D.
Fun.
Instead of quirks, they are called legacies, and everybody in the world is like sorcerers with these sorceress superpowers, except for one person, the main character of the show, who is the first warlock. I am not the main character of the show. I am a sorcerer named Xander Quarkstream. He is the little smart kid with a huge afro and glasses that
when
he pushes them up. Yes.
Oh, amazing.
My legacy allows me to basically calculate probabilities at such a high level that I can predict what is going to happen in any given scenario, including what my opponents are going to do. So I can outplay them. Sort of. It's like it's like probability based divination.
That's
essentially
fun. Yeah. That's really cool. I love that. But yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And I guess it's time to say so long, Shire Folk.
So long, Shire Folk.
So long, Shire Folk.
And And it's time for another Shire Folk shout out. That's not the word. Halfling shout out. Is it Shire Folk shout out? It is shout out. Shire it folks. Is Shire Folk shout out.
We know what we're doing.
Yes. Thank you so much to all of our patrons, and in particular, these new patrons whose names we will begin reading now. Callan Michael Webster. Thank you, Callan Michael Webster.
Thank you so much. I haven't gotten the list up just yet.
I will do the next one. Mengcha. No, wait, thank you, Mengcha.
Okay. I don't want you to do all of them. Hang on, give me a second.
And Lindsay Stevenson.
No,
thank you,
no.
Lindsay.
Jeremy, no.
Stephen Billington. Jump in whenever you're ready, Liv.
Bethany McPeak. Thank you so much for everything that you
Thanks,
do. Stephen. And also for everything. Thanks, everyone. Yeah.
And Anna Bishop. Thank you, Anna Bishop.
And Saga Nadau. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Actually a reference to Naga Sadow, who's a Sith in Star Wars. Yeah, so good one. So good one, Saga.
Yeah, very nice. Good one.
Yeah. Good one. On Garrett Street. Thank you, Garrett Street. I've never seen Garrett Street, but I imagine it's a lovely street.
Yeah, I bet it's idyllic. I really think it is. Henchman number 37, Henchman 37, thank you so much. Henchmen normally don't get that much praise. You know, they're just like they're part of the many cogs that make the machine go. But you're a standout. Thank you.
Thank you, Henchman. Yes. And Josh Boudreau. I'm guessing it's Boudreau.
Boudreau?
I said Josh. It's John Boudreau. I'm sorry.
We're so good at this.
John Boudreau. I think that's how I would pronounce it. Thank you, John. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it really is. Oh, my God. Oh, I love this one. Josh Gosh. No, wait, hang on.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Gosh, Josh. Exclamation
gosh,
mark.
Josh.
Gosh, Josh. Thank you so much for both being a patron, but also for the name that I just got to read out. Thank you so much. Thank you. Have we lost Jeremy? Oh, no, you're back. You're back. Hello. Yes good.
Oh, thank goodness.
Good. I was like, I got to the end of, you're on the
Daner one.
The person. Yes.
Daner one. Thank you, Daner one. Or Danner. It could be Danner one. Either way, thank you very, very much.
Yeah, whoever and whatever your name might be. Thank you so much. Sarah Christine, thank you so much for being a patron. Wow.
Absolutely.
Christine, more like Pristine, am I right?
Hey, 100%.
Yeah.
Brianna or Brianna Jansen Saldivar. I hope I said that mostly correctly. Thank you so much, Brianna and or Brianna.
Yes, thank you so much. Big shout out to Sinclair. That's it. It's like Beyonce. I love it. What a name. Like, I just, yeah. I love that. I love that for you and for us. Thank you so much for being a patron.
Hey, and next up, it's my pal, Rowan Dart. We've never met Rowan, but I'm calling you my pal for these purposes. Thank you, Rowan Dart. An excellent name as well.
Parasocial relationship Jeremy is back. We love it.
Hey, the finger guns are out and they're coming for you.
Oh, here they come. And now also a single name. We've simply got Matt. A wonderful patron called Matt.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
How's it going? Thank you so much. Thank you.
Next up, we got Fullerin Akinmade. Thank you. I'm guessing it's Fullerin and not Fullarin, even though I'm pretty sure I've had a character in Wagadu named Fullarin and probably mispronounced it. But regardless, thank you. I think I've seen you on Twitter, actually. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. So kind of you. Tiago Felipe, thank you so much. For everything. Thank you for everything. And also being a patron. And I hope that I said that correctly.
I think you did. That seemed on point.
Yeah, I thought so too. I felt fairly confident. Yeah.
Katie Woody. Thank you, Katie Woody. My pal Katie.
That's
who I also don't know.
Classic Katie Woody, who we don't know. Thank you so much for being a patron. Dennis Ribordi?
Denny.
Denis Ribordi. Yeah, no, it's definitely Denis.
Denis Ribordi.
Thank you so much for being a patron and having such a gorgeous name that we simply can't comprehend. I can't, anyway. So, yeah. Thank you so much.
Our powers are not strong enough.
They're really not.
Thank you, Tromor T. Thank you.
Tremort.
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 Tremort. It's the same forwards and backwards. It's a palindrome.
Oh, wow. My goodness. I love palindromes. I love how they use their smite to defeat their enemies.
Oh, my goodness.
Timothy, thank you so much. Wonderful patron. Jenna H. Thank you so much for being a patron. And just, I love your air of mystery. What does the H stand for? Is it... Hi. We don't know.
Stands for halfling. Wesley Ball, the excellent, always excellent Wesley Ball. Thank you, Wesley. Again, never met you.
Yeah, forever excellent, though.
We do appreciate.
I feel bad for the people at the start of these shout-outs who we were just like, hi, thank you.
All of you were excellent, too.
You were all excellent. Thank you so much. We know you all. No, we don't. And once again, Simply Jordan. It's not Simply Jordan. The name is Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. Really appreciate you being a patron and just being you. Love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's Charlie Searle. It's Charlie Searle.
That's not Charlie Searle over there, is it?
Coming right round the bend.
Oh,
thank you, Charlie Searle. We haven't met, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, none of it. We haven't met any of you, maybe, probably. That we know of. Then we got Aaron. Aaron, big shout out to Aaron.
Thank you.
Who is fantastic and is a patron, and we're very grateful. Thank you, Aaron.
Yes, and Benjamin McMullen. Thank you so much, Benjamin McMullen. Oh, It's so good to see your name again.
It's not the McMulster over there, is it?
It's the McMulster. Oh, it's the McMulster. I'm McMulling over that nickname.
Along with that, we've got Rebecca Mergler. Rebecca, what can we say? What can we even begin to say? Just big thank you. Big ol' thank you. Thank
you
so much, Rebecca.
From the bottom of our halfling hearts.
From the bottom of our hearts.
And finally, John McCabe. John McCabe, you have the same surname as a PC in a game that I play in. It's not a PC that I play, but it's a PC that a friend of my girlfriend plays. The character's name is Cedar McCabe, and you are John McCabe.
Is it you?
Thank you.
Are you the character? Is it you?
No, it's not my PC. My PC's name is Sammy.
No. Jeremy, this is a question to John McCabe. Are you the player character?
Whoa. Cedar changed their name to John.
Yeah.
And hopped into our Patreon.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That art imitates life.
Wow.
Imitates art. thank you so much, everyone, for being patrons. We really, really appreciate it. Stay tuned for some updates to the Patreon that we think are going to make you being patrons even more fun and exciting and wonderful, because we appreciate you. Thanks a lot, gang. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. That was a HeadGum Podcast.